from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Okay, I lied. A couple more texts on Scooble and the Orioles and the possibility and what people want. Why not trade Scooble and sign Flaherty? Build up your farm system. Still keep your rotation strong going into next season.
I got to believe all options are on the table. And if you're in the camp of a don't want to trade Scooble, there's no chance of trading Scooble. I understand that. I don't really want to argue with you about it, but you cannot be in the camp of I'm not going to listen to offers.
Right.
Because this is an opportunity for you to put on, and we had the ski mask at the beginning of the Lions season. This is a chance for you to put on the gloves, the ski mask, and go into somebody's farm system and absolutely rob them blind. And if you can do that, you can't pass that deal up. If you can't create that market, if you can't make that happen, then don't do the deal.
It always circles back to, if you trade him away, you are delaying the competitive window of this team. But that's already their intention to begin with, then it's absolutely an opportunity for Scott Harris to make some hay.
I mentioned this. We kind of glossed over it. I said there's a big if. And you mentioned their best path to making the playoffs next year is if Tarek Skubal is on the roster. You're right. But that if is, if they go out and add a bat or two to the lineup, you can't just continue to let this go down the road. Yep. And say, well, we're going to continue to try and build our core. I mean, I understand it, but it's not going to get you in the playoffs, even if you have Tarek Skubal on the mound.
And then there's always the fear. This texter says, what if you get Holiday and he's the next Torkelson? One of these guys who's going to be great, just you wait, doesn't end up panning out, and you gave up a Cy Young Award winner.
Well, what if you get Holiday and he is an all-star like Riley Green, where, all right, he's not going to hit 40 home runs, or he's not going to have, he's not even batting 300, right? But he's still an all-star. But he's not the best, at his position. He's not a gold glove. He's not a silver slugger. He's not, some of these things, but he is an all-star. Is that worthy of trading? Because, the flip side is, okay, you get Holiday, but Basilo, if he comes in the deal, he doesn't turn out to be anything. Right. Or Mayo comes and he doesn't turn out to be anything. So is the return down 10 years down the road? You look back and say, well, I don't really think we got enough.
Right. Then it's the JV deal. And it's like, so you got Jake Rogers and Daz right. Cameron and Franklin Perez.
Which at the time was panned as, it seems like a good return.
Yeah, people wanted Kyle Tucker, but it still felt like there were some blocks there. The reality is that it quickly falls apart. These guys are minor leaguers. All right. The British Open, or the Open.
Yeah. Thank you.
Starts tomorrow. Tiger Woods will be playing in the Open.
It sounds so good when you say it like that.
Not everybody wants him to. Colin Montgomery, fellow golfer, did a long form interview and was asked about Tiger in that interview. And he said, I hope people remember Tiger as Tiger was. The passion, the charisma, the aura around him. There's none of that now. At Pinehurst, he didn't seem to enjoy a single shot. And you think, what the hell is he doing? He's not enjoying it. He says, aren't we there where he needs to be done playing, where he needs to say goodbye? It's difficult to tell Tiger it's time to go. Obviously, he still feels like he can win. We are more realistic, end quote. The idea that Tiger needs to just hang it up, he's doing himself no favors by playing. Is he even enjoying playing? The numbers on Tiger, He hasn't finished higher than 37th in any major since the 2019 Masters. He's withdrawn from or missed the cut in five of the last six majors. Translation, he's washed up. He still wants to golf. He responded to Montgomery. Shots fired.
Great response. I have that luxury of making the decision whether I want to play or not.
How do you feel about all this?
So when he looks like he's not having fun, what is fun to a champion? It's winning championships. It's winning rounds. It's winning in general. So if you're not winning, are you having fun? Probably not as much fun as you've had in the past. I'm not going to sit here and say he should just flat out retire. If he wants to play, let him play. There is always that opportunity as the further he... It's kind of one of those diminishing returns where the further you get from the accident, the surgeries, the recovery, yes, he has a better chance, but he's the further he gets from that, the older he gets as well. So where does, you know, that chart, the circles overlay, is there still a chance for him to be able to win a major? I don't know that that's possible. I don't think that's possible, but I'm not going to sit there and say, I don't want him to try.
Well, that's what it comes back to. Is he still a draw? Do people still care that he's playing?
That's a completely different question.
Well, but that's from, we're asking fans. We don't have Tiger Woods on line one. I can't get his opinion. But if you are a golf fan, do you want to see him retire? Or is he still the draw? I think it is the same question. If he's no longer the draw, if it's played out, if it's sad, if it's just kind of like, oh, this, like, he probably, you have a family member that they probably shouldn't drive anymore and you need to take their car keys away. Has it reached that level with Tiger Woods? I'm not there. To me, what does it hurt that he golfs?
That's my whole point.
We already know he's not very good anymore. I have no expectation that he's going to win.
He's not as good as he was. Let's not say he's not very good anymore.
Oh, John, no, come on. We judge these guys by the standard of the best of the best, and Tiger especially. Is he a better golfer than you and me? Yes, but when we criticize Spencer Torkelson, it's the same thing. He's no good. Is he still a better baseball player than anybody in the studio? Yes, but he's not good. And Tiger at this point, he's missing the cut five of the last six. He's not finishing in the top 25 in any of these.
He's not great.
And that's the standard that he's set.
Right.
Now, he's not great, but I don't. What does it hurt that he golfs? What does it hurt that he shows up and provides...
And what does it matter if people want to buy a ticket to go see Tiger Woods, or if they want to buy a ticket and they don't even care if Tiger Woods is there? It doesn't matter to me. I don't know why should it matter to anybody else other than Tiger Woods. If he wants to golf and he has created this option for himself, I've gone out there, I've won these majors, I have these exemptions. If I want to golf, damn it, I'm going to golf.
I know neither one of you guys are the biggest golf fans in the world. You know, Colin Montgomery is a curmudgeon. He has been for an extremely long time. He's always kind of trying to light the fuse, and he's just gone dormant for a while until, for some reason, he became relevant. I don't know. Somebody talked to him. But, I mean, for me, for Tiger, he's performing like he's 58. And he's, what, 48, 47? So what I mean by that is...
Which is not old.
He seems like he's gotten to that point faster than, you know, Nicklaus did or Mickelson did. Mickelson created magic a couple years ago and won the PGA. For me, where I get bothered by the Tiger stuff is the people who think he should still be the main story. He's just in the tournament now. And what happens is you hope the magic happens. Like Tom Watson did that years back in the British Open where he should have won.
Mm-hmm.
You like that it's just kind of dangling there, but it's not the story anymore. He shouldn't be. And if you still pay to go see him, great. Good for you and stuff. I don't mind all that. But I said to Jim pre-show, I think you walked away, John, it's like watching Jordan with the Wizards. And it might be worse.
Well, but my point is, once Jordan has already put the Wizards jersey on, like Tiger is already Jordan on the Wizards. So that's why I say, what does it hurt at this point? He's already let us see him be mortal. Right. Michael Jordan, if he had walked out on top after the shot over Byron Russell in 98, you never see him struggle. We saw Jordan struggle. We've seen Tiger struggle for years. 2019 is 5 years ago.
I mean, the greats usually don't walk it off, though, in the best of fashion. Well, like if you compare other sports, play for other teams, and you're like, yeah.
That's my point. If we've already seen him be mortal.
Or you could go to another team and win a Super Bowl.
Okay. There's no harm in it at this point. We've already seen him struggle. It's not like he's going to hurt his image. We've already seen him struggle. So what does it hurt? 248-539-9797. We got people who want to talk about this. Tiger Woods, still a draw for you? Does he need to hang it up? Is it painful to watch? Fellow golfer says, he's not even having fun. We got to ask the question. It's 97.1.
When it comes to managing your finances, you need a bank that gets you and is genuinely interested in your success. That's why I bank with First Merchants Bank. Whether it's your business banking or day-to-day personal banking, First Merchants Bank is 100% interested in helping you prosper. First Merchants Bankers are attentive. They're going to sit down with you, find out as much as they can so they can build a financial plan that fits your unique situation. And when you make the switch to First Merchants Bank, you're also going to get access to their highly rated mobile banking app with innovative personal finance tools. Plus, they're deeply connected to the community's needs because it's their community as well. It's where they live. It's where they work. They understand it as much as anyone, and they volunteer and donate to local causes to ensure that we all prosper together. This is the difference of 100% interest in you. For a better banking experience, visit firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Shots fired. Tiger Woods says, I've earned the right to golf till I'm 60 if I damn well choose to. The idea that he needs to go away. We've asked that question. 248-539-9797. The Open, the British Open for us on this side of the pond, gets underway tomorrow. The argument for him to walk away is you don't want to see one of the all-time greats struggle. You don't want to see Jordan with the Wizards. Here's the problem with that argument. We had 5 years of Jordan with the Wizards. It's already happened. He's already unraveled at this point. It's 5 years since his last major, that magical Masters win. He doesn't golf on Sundays anymore. So, I mean, it's already happened. The moment to walk away on top has since passed. So at this point, he may as well golf as long as he damn well pleases, because for some people, he is still a draw. He's still a name, and on the off chance he performs well, it's great for the game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he ever wins another major. I don't know if he wins another tournament. But how much excitement would there be if he does make the cut and going into Saturday that he's two strokes back, or if he's even one up, and goes into Sunday with the excitement that Tiger Woods could win one more major? Like, can you imagine what that would be for that one weekend, for that one tournament?
I mean, the Masters in 2019 is one of the all-time great sports stories, period, ever. I mean, what he did after all that he had gone through, and some of it self-inflicted in his personal life, but his body breaking down and still overcoming and winning the way he did.
That's why people watch.
I know.
Because there's always that shot. If he's not out there, there's no possibility. Yeah. If he is, let's see what happens.
And Tom's point was, as long as he's not the main story anymore, and I don't think he is the main story,
no,
he could still be a story for the golf people. Let's get to Jared. You're on 97.1.
Yeah, I was just, Tom Watson, I think he almost won the British Open when he was 60 or in his 60s. Freddie Couples is still out there banging it around. why can't Tiger? You know, anything can happen. You catch the lightning in a bottle, and like John was saying, he could come out on top one of these times. I enjoy watching him, even if it's for just two rounds.
Still a draw for you. Still someone you care about.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are people. I mean, he elevated the sport in a way no one else ever has.
Yeah, and it may not be appointment television anymore that you want to watch Tiger, you want to watch to see what he does on Saturday and Sunday, because you mentioned he's not making the cut most of the time. I don't know that he's appointment TV even on Thursday or Friday, but it is, there's an awareness. I even do it. I'm not a golf guy, and I still look, you know, hey, when things are done at the Open on Thursday, I'll look and I'll look at, you know, hey, where is Tiger Woods? On Friday, I'll do the same thing. Until they make the announcement that he hasn't made the cut, or if he does, I'm still looking to see where is Tiger Woods.
Scott and Troy, you're on 97.1.
Hi, guys. Good morning, guys. I have always loved Tiger. As an avid golfer, I mean, he was just a man. He was appointment television back in the day. But the thing about Tiger right now is that, I mean, he has earned the right to be able to play in the event. And I think that the Masters and the British, as far as the way they set up and the type of golf style that they are, if he catches a little lightning in the bottle, he can still win those events. I mean, if he played well over those few days, that's why he keeps making the cut at the Masters. I mean, because you have very little rough at the Masters, and it's not as distance-related. That's why he continues to struggle at the PGA and the U.S. Open, where the courses are so much longer and the rough is so much thicker, right? So it's very difficult for him now to play in that type of an environment. But the British, where creativity and short game and putting all become a factor, as he continues to play a little bit, get stronger, I mean, those are the type of tournaments that he still has an opportunity to win. Whether people believe he does or not. But he could. I mean, if he catches it, he could. He could pull a Tom Watson. He could pull a Phil Mickelson like Phil did at the PGA.
Scott,
but the British
let me ask you,
the Masters is where he's still competitive.
Let me ask you a question, Scott, because I agree. I think the British is probably the one where he has the best chance because of the style of the course. It is more of a short game. It's putting. It's also the least wear and tear walking up and down that he's going to have on his body, but the weather is going to be an issue. It's going to be 50 to, you know, mid to low 60s. How much do you think the weather will play a part of just physically for Tiger Woods?
It will play a part depending on where his tee times fall. Now, I think he's playing late early, so that's not a good situation for him because he has so much of a process for him to kind of get ready to play. So the weather could be a factor for sure. I mean, it's always going to be better for him to play in warm weather, but so cooler at the British with, you know, if it's rainy and then, like I said, the tee time factor is not good. I mean, tee time at the Masters this year set up well for him and, you know, and he was able to string his 24th cut in a row, but tee times are always a factor. I mean, physically, he's just not there. I mean, it was the car accident that really caused it. Even though he's had so many issues, you know, he was kind of back to playing some really good golf and then won the Masters and the Tour Championship in 19, but then that car accident just changed everything.
Yeah, I mean, when we go back to 2019, you realize it's been 5 years since that major win, and he's withdrawn from or missed the cut in 5 of the last 6 majors.
It seems like he's having way more trouble dealing with this pain post-accident than the back pain that he had before and all the other stuff. I would say that I think the caller nailed it in terms of, I mean, if he's going to win another major, definitely most likely the Masters, because there just takes a craft and knowledge around that course, sets up for the right week, and he's starting to play decent golf. He's a threat. The British Open, you're right, the weather nailed it. I mean, but I think he's running out of time, and he's probably, I mean, I would be shocked if he played that till 60. I mean, I know a lot of the older legends, that's the first one they omit because of the travel. But the U.S. Open, I think, is way too physical demanding. And I think the PGA, I don't know if he can go low enough,
right,
as low as somebody else can on a given week. I mean, I enjoy still watching him play. I felt like I trashed him maybe a little bit earlier. I just know what he is now. I don't tune into a major to expect Tiger to win, or that's not the first thing I want to see. I've always been, you know, I want the guys to get the respect that they deserve. Like Scottie Scheffler is becoming, it's going to be interesting to see if he can break through where Dustin Johnson and Brooks Koepka and Jordan Spieth, they've all thought, oh, they're going to be the next guy to get six plus majors, which I think is the crown jewel in golf. If you can get above that, you know, then you become a true legend. None of them are able to do that. So Scheffler's kind of the next one. And it just shows how great Tiger was, by the way.
Yeah, no kidding. Ticket text coming in, 248-539-9797. We'll keep mixing in the phone calls. Ticket texter says, every single tournament, I look to see if Tiger will be participating. No matter how he plays, he's a celebrity to me. I don't want to see him back out of tournaments because of his age or because of his playing ability. Unknown ticket texter.
Yeah, I mean, that I kind of echoed the same thing. I'm not sitting there turning it on. I never did, even when he was in his prime, until maybe Sunday, because you wanted to see if there was going to be magic happen, and it did a lot of times. But right now, I want to see after the first day, where is he?
Texter says, absolutely a draw. If he was at the Rocket Mortgage, ticket prices would have doubled. Crowds would have been packed. He's the GOAT. He can golf as long as he wants and should still be golfing to this day. Ticket texter says, if he wants to keep missing cuts till he's 60, God bless. It's still embarrassing. And another person says, yeah, he can keep playing, but I just wish the media would stop covering him like he's relevant. Well, I'll tell you this. We brought up his name. You guys keep calling. Let's get to Chuck in Waterford. Says something about his relevancy. Chuck, should he hang it up?
Hey, Chuck. Sorry, guys. Hey, I think Gov is completely backwards on this. Gov, I don't think there's any realistic way the Masters is the best tournament for him to compete in moving forward, just because the walk is so challenging. It's so hilly. Tiger does best when he's got a course that he can get around pain-free, and it's hot out. The last major, he was at the top of the leaderboard at the end of day one at the U.S. Open because it was, you know, 90-some-odd degrees, and it was a flat walk. Tiger's best chance of competing in the future and you know, in these majors is when he's got a course that sets up flat and he's got warm weather. And that's never going to be Augusta because the walk is so challenging. If he catches a draw at one of these, you know, British Opens where it's not windy and cold, you know, he gets a 60, 70-degree day somehow, these courses are so much flatter because they're all link styles. He's absolutely got a chance at a course like this. And his distance hasn't fallen off a lick. He's still blowing the ball past Zalatoris that they play with. He's hitting the ball 345 down the pipe. There's no way that you can say Tiger, even in his age now, has lost distance. He has lost the ability to get around, and that's it.
Oh, I don't disagree with that, but I think the U.S. Open, too, can be challenging, especially
depending on the
venue.
Yeah.
What I would say, Tiger's made the 24 cuts in a row at Augusta. He hasn't done that anywhere else. There's a reason for that. I believe it's course knowledge. I believe he gets amped up for it maybe more than others. And if you look through, like, just history, like, more than one-time champions at Augusta happen more frequently than other majors.
Right.
They stack. For some reason, there's certain golfers that stack wins at Augusta. And I think it just comes down to guys that their style fits the course, the knowledge. I think some guys, like I said, get amped up for that tournament more. Now they take it more serious. I mean, the distance for the U.S. Open at this point is getting, I mean, and the other guys
all
hit it farther.
Depending on the year and the course. Yeah,
I would say with the U.S. Open, if he just went out and tried to shoot par the right year, he could win it because par wins it sometimes.
Because it's such a difficult course,
yeah.
Typically. 248-539-9797. We did the golf game and the Gibbs game. At 750, we're going to play St. Brown better than blank and compare him against the game's best NFL receivers. That's coming up at 7:50. Some more thoughts on Tiger Woods, Heather's News, all coming up next, 97.1. We did it with Goff. We did it with Gibbs. We'll play the St. Brown game. Brown better than blank coming up at 7:50 this morning, comparing him against the game's best NFL receivers. Then we'll talk a little Ayuk in the 8 o'clock hour because there are some Lions implications with what's going on in the Bay Area. Ticket text on Tiger Woods. Colin Montgomery said, basically, guys got to hang it up. Tiger said, I get to make that call, unlike Colin Montgomery, because I'm a winner. I'm a major champion. And if I want to golf till I'm 60, I will. Ticket texters weighing in on this. Why does Rory play golf? He hasn't won a major in 11 years. At least Rory's finishing second. He's top 10. I get the texter's point, though.
Yeah.
Texter says, for Tiger Woods, as long as John Daly is out there looking sloppy and missing cuts, Tiger can do it too. Tom in Flat Rock.
John Daly is so epic. I mean, he's out there smoking, drinking, wearing wild clothes.
Texter says, I'm not a Tiger fan, but he's earned the right to play wherever and whenever he wants. It's his choice. Tiger fan here says he's not the force he once was, but he's still Tiger freaking Woods. He's a huge draw. Of course, we want to see what he's going to do. Don't hang it up yet.
I don't think there's anybody that's going to argue he's as good as he once was. That's not even the argument. The argument is, do you want to see one of the all-time greats, maybe the GOAT of golf, struggle? Or would you just rather not see that? And you don't have to watch it, but not see it and just remember him as he was. I don't think anybody's ever going to forget who he was or what he was, no matter what he does now.
No one complained when Tom Watson's old ass kept showing up to majors. Why does Tiger have to quit? Because he's not winning. There's also a different tone on some of these texts. Several people have pointed out that he is taking up a spot for somebody else.
If somebody else can beat him.
Well, but the point is he qualifies automatically, right, is their point. So it says just because you won in the past shouldn't give you a free pass in the future. Each event should be the best players, and he's not it. Another one says go out with your head held high, opens a spot for a young player. Get tired of the announcers and cameras spending too much time on a guy struggling and speculating. Another one says Jack Nicklaus retired because he didn't want to take spots away. That's class, Travis and Rochester.
I will say this. I know watching in the last year and a half or so, they have swayed away a little bit from the coverage of him in tournament. Also, like SportsCenter's recaps of a round, he still gets mentioned, and he should, because people care. But they don't go shot by shot anymore. They're kind of seeing he's involved. He's obviously the biggest story, but it doesn't get the play that it was getting. I do think he was getting a little extra attention there for a while, that maybe, but whatever. I mean,
but it's okay. It's because his name, his brand, what he brings to the game. People are gonna give him too much exposure instead of not enough exposure just because of who he is, right? If you're these TV networks, you want to run the risk of not enough Tiger? You'd rather show too much Tiger because the casual golf fan knows Tiger. The casual golf fan might not know some of the other guys who were in the hunt.
Right, I'm just surprised Colin Montgomery would go there. I almost like, why would you attack the greatest of the generation, maybe the greatest of all time?
He's bored, probably. I don't know.
Instead of, you know, maybe why can't some of these other guys, if he's asked about Tiger Woods, how come nobody's risen up to challenge, at least break through? None of these guys, because everybody's going to say Scheffler, and they're going to say I'm wrong right now. Scheffler is the new, Spieth was the same thing, yep, years back.
Rory at one point.
Dustin Johnson. I mean, to me, Dustin Johnson, more than any of these guys, has all the talent in the world. And really, I think he should be leading like the most majors won non-Tiger that's current player, you know? So, but nobody ever calls these guys out.
So just sum it up. I have no issue. Keep playing. John, you don't want him to walk away?
No, keep playing as long as you want.
Tom, you want him to keep golfing? Thumbs up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just be fair with the coverage and don't neglect when somebody else is doing great or whatever. I mean, it's like I said, he's Jordan with the Wizards, but Jordan was a story with the Wizards. It's just, he's not going to be what he was, but you might get magic one weekend.
I don't worry about him like tarnishing his legacy because he's playing. He's already been playing golf below his standard for like 5 years. So like the cat's out of the bag on that. At this point, yes, just keep golfing. You've already shown us you at your worst. If you want to play, keep playing. Let's get to Heather with the news.
So, College Football 25 was the most highly anticipated sports video game of all time. And
that,
EA
John?
Sports made a wild amount of money on the first day of the big release, right? Yeah. It's pretty crazy. And Jim, you contributed to the amount of money that was made. So, early access to the game, I believe actually this article said start on Monday?
Yes.
Yeah, 4 o'clock on Monday.
Oh, that's okay. So, it was later in the day Monday. Got it. And the launch was just so insane that the servers crashed shortly after the game went live. There are more than 700,000 people who are playing online as of 10 p.m., but that number doesn't include the amount of people who were playing but not online. So you could say like 1 million fans were probably playing on Monday evening.
At $100 a person minimum.
Minimum. So they did what they did here. They said two early access packages would either cost you $100 or $150. So they split the difference and said, let's just go with $125. So if you went with just the amount that was playing online, the 713,000, almost 714, you'd be over $89 million on
one day.
On one day.
I know you like to take shots at me in regards to, oh, do you see this? I never said that wasn't huge or wasn't going to be. I just, I question a 30-year-old like yourself.
Dedicating hours and hours and hours.
A married man dedicating hours and hours. Now, if you don't like your wife, I get it, but.
Say, have you been talking to her? What's going on here? Is this like an intervention we're doing this morning?
No. I would guess that most people playing are what, in their 20s and up?
Yeah, I think.
I think there's a lot of kids that are in the 15 to 21 range that are playing it as well.
But I think a lot of the appeal to this game is specifically the nostalgia.
It
is people who
maybe. Early release, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, people who were playing maybe when they were 15.
Right.
And now they're in their 30s.
And they have 15-year-olds.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're trying to pass on. Yes. This game.
That's right. Ingrid Andress is checking herself into rehab, and it's not because of her rendition of the national anthem and how bad it was. It's because she says she was drunk while she performed it. So she has now apologized for her anthem performance and said that she's checking herself into rehab. She jumped on social media and she said, I'm not going to BS y'all. I was drunk last night. She said, she's going to check herself into facility to get the help she needs. That was not her. And she's going to let us know how rehab is.
So first things first, if she does need help, glad that she's getting it. Does it explain the performance?
No.
Not to many online. From the comments I've read, it doesn't necessarily. It could. It depends how drunk you are.
You go to a karaoke bar late enough at night.
I'm a better singer while I've been drinking.
Damn it, we nearly got some.
Damn it.
But no, if you are a classically trained or even a professional singer, I don't... Is that a couple drinks too many?
Well, I hope that this is not just an excuse. And this is the actual truth. And she is now going to get what she needs and get the help.
Well, that's where your mind immediately goes is, was this just simply an excuse? I'm going to check myself into rehab to give a reason for why I sounded so bad.
Right, exactly. The comedy rock duo featuring Jack Black and Kyle Gass, Tenacious D, has put all plans on hold, basically canceled the rest of their tour after Gass joked on stage about the assassination attempt on Donald Trump. So it happened during a show in Australia on Sunday. So basically their tour of Australia and New Zealand is now over. And also the band's Rock the Vote tour of college campuses. It was supposed to go down in October. That's done as well. In an Instagram post, Jack Black said that he was blindsided by what Gass said. And he said he would never condone hate speech or encourage political violence in any form. So he said, you know, the right thing to do is for us to put everything on hold. Gass issued a statement as well on his own, saying that his comment was highly inappropriate, dangerous, and a terrible mistake. He also said that what happened was a tragedy, and I am incredibly sorry for my severe lack of judgment. Now, Gass was also dropped by his agent as well.
The thing that is disappointing is the people who did want to see them play now don't get to see them play. Those are the people that I think about in all of this, too. Clearly, he screwed up. He's got to own that he screwed up. But the people who end up losing are the people who did want to see them play that now don't get to.
Yep.
All right, that's Heather with the news. Coming up next, St. Brown better than blank, comparing him to the game's best receivers. It's 97.1.
When it comes to an IRS collection or audit, you need a law firm that specializes in the resolution of all types of tax problems. And when dealing with the world's largest civil law enforcement agency, your case could take a lot of twists and turns. Your first call should be to an experienced law firm like Abraham and Rose. They're prepared to advocate on your behalf, no matter if it's civil, criminal, or even the Michigan Department of Treasury, whether personal income tax or business payroll taxes. You're going to need a real team of local lawyers, not some tax organization with a random person that you're never going to meet. Visit Abraham and Rose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. or if you overcame.
Two more reps.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
We did it with Goff. We did it with Gibbs. We'll play the St. Brown game. Brown better than blank coming up at 7:50 this morning, comparing him against the game's best NFL receivers. Then we'll talk a little Ayuk in the 8 o'clock hour because there are some Lions implications with what's going on in the Bay Area. Ticket text on Tiger Woods. Colin Montgomery said, basically, guys got to hang it up. Tiger said, I get to make that call, unlike Colin Montgomery, because I'm a winner. I'm a major champion. And if I want to golf till I'm 60, I will. Ticket texters weighing in on this. Why does Rory play golf? He hasn't won a major in 11 years. At least Rory's finishing second. He's top 10. I get the texter's point, though.
Yeah.
Texter says, for Tiger Woods, as long as John Daly is out there looking sloppy and missing cuts, Tiger can do it too. Tom in Flat Rock.
John Daly is so epic. I mean, he's out there smoking, drinking, wearing wild clothes.
Texture says, I'm not a Tiger fan, but he's earned the right to play wherever and whenever he wants. It's his choice. Tiger fan here says he's not the force he once was, but he's still Tiger freaking Woods. He's a huge draw. Of course, we want to see what he's going to do. Don't hang it up yet.
I don't think there's anybody that's going to argue he's as good as he once was. That's not even the argument. The argument is, do you want to see one of the all-time greats, maybe the GOAT of golf, struggle? Or would you just rather not see that? And you don't have to watch it, but not see it and just remember him as he was. I don't think anybody's ever going to forget who he was or what he was, no matter what he does now.
No one complained when Tom Watson's old ass kept showing up to majors. Why does Tiger have to quit? Because he's not winning. There's also a different tone on some of these texts. Several people have pointed out that he is taking up a spot for somebody else.
If somebody else can beat him.
Well, but the point is he qualifies automatically, right, is their point. So it says just because you won in the past shouldn't give you a free pass in the future. Each event should be the best players, and he's not it. Another one says go out with your head held high, opens a spot for a young player. Get tired of the announcers and cameras spending too much time on a guy struggling and speculating. Another one says Jack Nicklaus retired because he didn't want to take spots away. That's class, Travis and Rochester.
I will say this. I know watching in the last year and a half or so, they have swayed away a little bit from the coverage of him in tournament. Also, like SportsCenter's recaps of a round, he still gets mentioned, and he should, because people care. But they don't go shot by shot anymore. They're kind of seeing he's involved. He's obviously the biggest story, but it doesn't get the play that it was getting. I do think he was getting a little extra attention there for a while that maybe... Whatever. I mean,
but it's okay. It's because his name, his brand, what he brings to the game. People are gonna give him too much exposure instead of not enough exposure, just because of who he is, right? If you're these TV networks, you want to run the risk of not enough Tiger. You'd rather show too much Tiger because the casual golf fan knows Tiger. The casual golf fan might not know some of the other guys who are in the hunt.
Right, I'm just surprised Colin Montgomery would go there. I'm almost like, why would you attack the greatest of the generation, maybe the greatest of all time?
He's bored, probably. I don't know.
Instead of, you know, maybe why can't some of these other guys, if he's asked about Tiger Woods, how come nobody's risen up to challenge, at least break through? None of these guys, because everybody's going to say Scheffler, and they're going to say I'm wrong right now. Scheffler is the new. Spieth was the same thing, yep, years back.
Rory at one point.
Dustin Johnson. I mean, to me, Dustin Johnson, more than any of these guys, has all the talent in the world. And really, I think he should be leading like the most majors won non-Tiger that's current player, you know? So, but nobody ever calls these guys out.
So just sum it up. I have no issue. Keep playing. John, you don't want him to walk away?
No, keep playing as long as you want.
Tom, you want him to keep golfing? Thumbs up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just be fair with the coverage and don't neglect when somebody else is doing great or whatever. I mean, it's like I said, Jordan was he's Jordan with the Wizards, but Jordan was a story with the Wizards. It's just he's not going to be what he was, but you might get magic one weekend.
I don't worry about him like tarnishing his legacy because he's playing. He's already been playing golf below his standard for like 5 years. So like the cat's out of the bag on that. At this point, yes, just keep golfing. You've already shown us you at your worst. If you want to play, keep playing. Let's get to Heather with the news.
So College Football 25 was the most highly anticipated sports video game of all time. And
that,
EA Sports made a wild amount of money on the first day of the big release, right? Yeah. It's pretty crazy. And Jim, you contributed to the amount of money that was made. So early access to the game, I believe actually this article said start on Monday?
Yes.
Yeah, 4 o'clock on Monday.
Oh, that's okay. So it was later in the day Monday. Got it. And the launch was just so insane that the servers crashed shortly after the game went live. There are more than 700,000 people who are playing online as of 10 p.m., but that number doesn't include the amount of people who were playing but not online. So you could say like 1 million fans were probably playing on Monday evening.
At $100 a person minimum.
Minimum. So they did what they did here. They said two early access packages would either cost you $100 or $150. So they split the difference and said, let's just go with $125. So if you went with just the amount that was playing online, the 713,000, almost 714, you'd be over $89 million on
one day.
On one day.
I know you like to take shots at me in regards to, oh, do you see this? I never said that wasn't huge or wasn't going to be. I question a 30-year-old like yourself.
Dedicating hours and hours.
A married man dedicating hours and hours. Now, if you don't like your wife, I get it, but.
Say, have you been talking to her? What's going on here? Is this like an intervention we're doing this morning?
No. I would guess that most people playing are what, in their 20s and up?
Yeah, I think.
I think there's a lot of kids that are in the 15 to 21 range that are playing it as well.
But I think a lot of the appeal to this game is specifically the nostalgia.
It
is people who
the
maybe.
Early release, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, people who were playing maybe when they were 15.
Right.
And now they're in their 30s.
And they have 15-year-olds.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're trying to pass on. Yes. This game.
That's right. Ingrid Andress is checking herself into rehab, and it's not because of her rendition of the national anthem and how bad it was. It's because she says she was drunk while she performed it. So she has now apologized for her anthem performance and said that she's checking herself into rehab. She jumped on social media and she said, I'm not going to BS y'all. I was drunk last night. She said she's going to check herself into facility to get the help she needs. That was not her. And she's going to let us know how rehab is.
So first things first, if she does need help, glad that she's getting it. Does it explain the performance?
No.
Not to many online. From the comments I've read, it doesn't necessarily. It could. Depends how drunk you are.
You go to a karaoke bar late enough at night.
I'm a better singer while I've been drinking.
Damn it, we nearly got some.
Damn
it. But no, if you are a classically trained or even a professional singer, is that a couple drinks too many?
Well, I hope that this is not just an excuse. And this is the actual truth. And she is now going to get what she needs and get the help.
Well, that's where your mind immediately goes is, was this just simply an excuse? I'm going to check myself into rehab to give a reason for why I sounded so bad.
Right, exactly. The comedy rock duo featuring Jack Black and Kyle Gass, Tenacious D, has put all plans on hold, basically canceled the rest of their tour after Gass joked on stage about the assassination attempt on Donald Trump. So it happened during a show in Australia on Sunday. So basically their tour of Australia and New Zealand is now over. And also the band's Rock the Vote tour of college campuses. It was supposed to go down in October. That's done as well. In an Instagram post, Jack Black said that he was blindsided by what Gass said. And he said he would never condone hate speech or encourage political violence in any form. So he said, you know, the right thing to do is for us to put everything on hold. Gas issued a statement as well on his own, saying that his comment was highly inappropriate, dangerous, and a terrible mistake. He also said that what happened was a tragedy, and I am incredibly sorry for my severe lack of judgment. Now, Gas was also dropped by his agent as well.
The thing that is disappointing is the people who did want to see them play now don't get to see them play. Those are the people that I think about in all of this, too. Clearly, he screwed up. He's got to own that he screwed up. But the people who end up losing are the people who did want to see them play that now don't get to.
Yep.
All right. That's Heather with the news. Coming up next, St. Brown better than blank, comparing him to the game's best receivers. It's 97.1.
When it comes to an IRS collection or audit, you need a law firm that specializes in the resolution of all types of tax problems and when dealing with the world's largest civil law enforcement agency. Your case could take a lot of twists and turns. Your first call should be to an experienced law firm like Abraham and Rose. They're prepared to advocate on your behalf, no matter if it's civil, criminal, or even the Michigan Department of Treasury, whether personal income tax or business payroll taxes. You're going to need a real team of local lawyers, not some tax organization with a random person that you're never going to meet. Visit abrahamandrose.com today or call 248-539-5040 so you never personally have to deal with the IRS.
It's time to play the St. Brown game. St. Brown better than blank, comparing him against other receivers in the NFL.
All right, guys. So we did it with QBs and running backs. We excluded Mahomes, Allen, and Burrow for the QBs. We only excluded McCaffrey for the running backs when we did Gibbs. St. Brown, there are no exclusions, but I think the top two would be the two that we might. Number one, Justin Jefferson. Would you rather have Amon-Ra St. Brown or Justin Jefferson?
I don't think there's any debate. I think it's Justin Jefferson. I think he is far and away the best receiver in the NFL.
He missed
when
time.
Healthy.
He missed time last year. They had a quarterback issue, several of them. He's still at 1,000 yards. He's the best receiver in football.
And this is who would you rather have going into this year, by the way. We're not talking about legacies and careers. Yeah. All right. Second, who I think should be excluded, Tyreek Hill.
I would rather have Tyreek Hill than Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yeah, and I know we've heard from Amon-Ra St. Brown that he wants to be a guy that stretches the field. I think he can, but not the way Tyreek Hill does. There's so many different ways they can get Tyreek Hill the ball.
I think Hill's got maybe one more huge year left before he starts falling simply because the speed's going to go away, and that's why
eventually
he's so unique. All right, next, A.J. Brown.
I'll take St. Brown. And again, I think these guys are in a similar tier, but St. Brown an All-Pro last year, the first downs, the clutch stuff. I would rather have St. Brown.
So the thing about A.J. Brown versus St. Brown, A.J. Brown is sharing catches with Devonta Smith, and, you know, but he does have a quarterback that gets outside the pocket, can extend plays, can make things happen a little bit more, has more opportunity. This one's tough. I think I'd rather have A.J. Brown. I think he's a much more physical receiver, and he is a better deep threat than Amon-Ra St. Brown is.
All right, this is the one that I think would actually make a topic where we could debate back and forth because I'm not sure what the right answer is. CeeDee Lamb.
This is so tough. I have CeeDee Lamb just ahead of Amon-Ra St. Brown, but these were 1 and 2 last year in yards after the catch. We might be done with receivers that I think are better than St. Brown. It's CeeDee Lamb ahead of him, Tyreek Hill ahead of him, Justin Jefferson ahead of him. That might be the list.
Yeah, and I know that he's got more yards. He's, you know, his average is a little bit better than Amon-Ra St. Brown, but he also had a lot more targets.
Yep.
In that offense, I mean, CeeDee Lamb is the focus of that offense. I would take Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think he does more for the team, whether it's the short routes, it's the crossing routes. I think he is a more complete receiver than CeeDee Lamb is.
So last year in the fall, I said at one point, I think middle of the season, I said Amon-Ra St. Brown's better than CeeDee Lamb. I think CeeDee Lamb was listening because he exploded and showed everything. And I honestly, like I said, I think that's the one where there's not a right answer. All right, moving on, Devontae Adams.
Man, such a great route runner. But I'd rather have St. Brown. I would. And some of this is hard because Devontae Adams is in a situation where he doesn't have great quarterback play anymore. And if you've watched the receiver series, he's also very aware of that. But at this point, I'd rather have St. Brown. More productive, more reliable, more dependable. The yards after the catch, that extra gear that I don't think Adams has at this point.
Yeah, I think it's Amon-Ra St. Brown, and it's for all of the things that he does for this team. Even when the Lions were not great, you were going to get the best of Amon-Ra St. Brown. I don't know that you could say the same thing from Davante Adams.
This one's interesting. Ja'Marr Chase. Jim sees the entrance. It's not so easy. Knee-jerk is Chase.
Well, ability or availability is one of the greatest abilities. And yes. I'll take Amon-Ra St. Brown, especially now that we've seen the receiver series and all of the different things that seem a little bit worse now looking back, knowing more about the injuries that Amon-Ra St. Brown was willing to play through. I'm going to go with Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Okay, muscle off the bone. He's like, hey, I'm going to miss one game. I'm right back out there. He's tough. Yeah, you know what? I'll take St. Brown
too. Steel plates in the shoes.
Yeah. And I think Chase is great. He certainly benefits playing with his college quarterback, who is better than Jared Goff. I don't want to incite that discussion. I think St. Brown's better.
He's definitely more dynamic, Chase. But I think interesting here, that's the draft that Brad Holmes took Amon-Ra St. Brown, he got him in the fourth round, and Chase went fifth overall. How about that? Brad Holmes love.
He might know what he's doing.
All right, this one, maybe too soon for this guy, but Puka Nacua?
Too soon. I want to see it done more than just one season. How much was he benefiting from Cooper Kupp? How much was he benefiting from just the offense? Now, we could say Amon-Ra St. Brown obviously benefits from the offense and Ben Johnson calling the plays. But I think even though Laporta, even though Gibbs, they're all going to get more touches. J-Mo is going to get more touches. I don't think we see a drop-off in the production of Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's still going to get his because he is that good, and he just finds ways to get open.
And I do wonder, as Cooper Kupp reemerges, don't forget about him, he's still in that offense, do we see Puka Nacua's numbers come down just a little bit in a more balanced attack?
It doesn't lessen the player he is, but obviously it lessens the numbers.
But his part of his selling point is the numbers of his rookie season, and those I don't think are going to hold true moving forward.
To my point, I think his numbers go down, even though it doesn't change how good he is. Amon-Ra St. Brown, I don't think his numbers are affected. In fact, I think his numbers continue to go up.
All right, you brought up the name, Cooper Kupp. He was the last add on this list. We left off DJ Moore and Mike Evans. We put on Cooper Kupp. Is the injury being held against him too much in bounce back time? Remember, he was still a borderline MVP.
I'm going to still say Amon-Ra St. Brown. The thing about Cooper Kupp, he has that ability, and it's a deep ability as well, to find ways to get open. Some of that's the offense. Some of it's his elite route running. But that's where I think Amon-Ra St. Brown continues to find ways to get open. It's his elite route running. And I think that's – everybody talks about the 202 catches a day, his Amon-Ra St. Brown's elite hands. When you watch him run routes, you watch him get off the line of scrimmage, you watch him and his awareness and his knowledge of what a defense is trying to do, that's where I think Amon-Ra St. Brown separates himself from a lot of these other receivers.
Did you get your answer on that?
Yeah, I didn't give the answer, but yeah, I'll take St. Brown.
Okay, you don't think Kupp should have been on the list. Okay, I'm going to say this much. Cooper Kupp is a sneaky guy you can draft in a fantasy league this year. That could end up winning you the league if he bounces back to what he was.
Yeah.
Value, Jim.
Value. I don't
value. Disagree.
Wait, is that the whole list?
No, we got two more.
Okay.
Stephon Diggs.
No.
Yeah. This headache. Guy, yeah, not even on the, no, on thanks. The list. Yeah. I mean, he's obviously brings his assets to the team now down in Houston, but you talk about the intangibles, the culture that Amon-Ra St. Brown has been a large part, if not the major part, of the shift in Detroit, that's not at all Stephon Diggs.
All right, and the last one wants to be paid like the sun god, Brandon Ayuk.
Very good player, not better than Amon-Ra St. Brown.
I see him as more of a one-dimensional guy. He is their stretch-the-field guy. I don't view him as a crossing route type of guy. I don't know that he has the toughness to be able to handle some of those routes that he even wants to. They've got Deebo Samuel to do that. They've got Kittle to do that. I see him more as just that simple deep threat.
Well, that's something that we didn't bring up really at all in this. We can bring up St. Brown and the yards after the catch, the first down conversions. How about a run blocker? You know what I mean? Like, I know that's not the top of the list for these receivers, but shouldn't that be kind of a tie goes to the guy who gets his nose dirty and wants to move people when he doesn't get the ball?
So, even when he gets the ball, his awareness of his teammates around him and utilizing, whether it's Reynolds, we saw in that Tampa Bay game, it's the ability to set up his other receivers so that they can make a block. We've seen J-Mo do a great job. That was one of the things. Hey, we didn't draft him to be a blocker, but he is a willing blocker down the field for guys like Amon-Ra St. Brown.
I got to do one ad here. Okay, Debo. Debo, because if you include his versatility,
right.
And John, only because you thought Debo had the biggest impact on that team when he missed versus other guys missing time.
He's a tough guy to put in the category, right?
He is a receiver.
He is a receiver. They use him out of the backfield. They use him in reverses. They use him in a number of different ways. I would still rather have Amon-Ra St. Brown because of Amon-Ra St. Brown's elite hands.
Yeah, if we only could have one on my football team, I'd take St. Brown. I actually put together my top 10 to do this. I had Jefferson 1. I had Tyreek Hill 2. CeeDee Lamb 3. Amon-Ra St. Brown 4. All pro last season, we've highlighted. I have Chase 5. A.J. Brown 6. Davante Adams 7. Brandon Ayuk is 8. I had Mike Evans, who's dependable at the end of this top 10 list, along with Garrett Wilson, who I think could have a big year, finally with some quarterback play.
I think Ja'Marr Chase is the one wild card, the biggest wild card, just because he's missed a lot of time. His numbers have been affected by it. And other than Joe Burrow being hurt, him being hurt as well has really harmed the Cincinnati Bengals.
And that's the St. Brown game. Better than blank. It's 97.1. It's time to play the St. Brown game. St. Brown better than blank. Comparing him against other receivers in the NFL.
All right, guys. So we did it with QBs and running backs. We excluded Mahomes, Allen, and Burrow for the QBs. We only excluded McCaffrey for the running backs when we did Gibbs. St. Brown, there are no exclusions, but I think the top two would be the two that we might. Number one, Justin Jefferson. Would you rather have Amon-Ra St. Brown or Justin Jefferson?
I don't think there's any debate. I think it's Justin Jefferson. I think he is far and away the best receiver in the NFL.
He missed
when
time.
Healthy.
He missed time last year. They had a quarterback issue, several of them. He's still at 1,000 yards. He's the best receiver in football.
And this is who would you rather have going into this year, by the way. We're not talking about legacies and careers.
Yeah.
All right. Second, who I think should be excluded, Tyreek Hill.
I would rather have Tyreek Hill than Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yeah, and I know we've heard from Amon-Ra St. Brown that he wants to be a guy that stretches the field. I think he can, but not the way Tyreek Hill does. There's so many different ways they can get Tyreek Hill the ball.
I think Hill's got maybe one more huge year left before he starts falling simply because the speed's going to go away, and that's
eventually
why he's so unique. All right, next, A.J. Brown.
I'll take St. Brown. And again, I think these guys are in a similar tier, but St. Brown, an all-pro last year, the first downs, the clutch stuff. I would rather have St. Brown.
So the thing about A.J. Brown versus St. Brown, A.J. Brown is sharing catches with Devonta Smith, and, you know, but he does have a quarterback that gets outside the pocket, can extend plays, can make things happen a little bit more, has more opportunity. This one's tough. I think I'd rather have A.J. Brown. I think he's a much more physical receiver, and he is a better deep threat than Amon-Ra St. Brown is.
All right, this is the one that I think would actually make a topic where we could debate back and forth because I'm not sure what the right answer is. CeeDee Lamb.
This is so tough. I have CeeDee Lamb just ahead of Amon-Ra St. Brown, but these were 1 and 2 last year in yards after the catch. We might be done with receivers that I think are better than St. Brown. It's CeeDee Lamb ahead of him, Tyreek Hill ahead of him, Justin Jefferson ahead of him. That might be the list.
Yeah, and I know that he's got more yards. He's, you know, his average is a little bit better than Amon-Ra St. Brown, but he also had a lot more targets.
Yep.
In that offense, I mean, CeeDee Lamb is the focus of that offense. I would take Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think he does more for the team, whether it's the short routes, it's the crossing routes. I think he is a more complete receiver than CeeDee Lamb is.
So last year in the fall, I said at one point, I think middle of the season, I said Amon-Ra St. Brown's better than CeeDee Lamb. I think CeeDee Lamb was listening because he exploded and showed everything. And I honestly, like I said, I think that's the one where there's not a right answer. All right, moving on, Davante Adams.
Man, such a great route runner. But I'd rather have St. Brown. I would. And some of this is hard because Davante Adams is in a situation where he doesn't have great quarterback play anymore. And if you've watched the receiver series, he's also very aware of that. But at this point, I'd rather have St. Brown. More productive, more reliable, more dependable. The yards after the catch, that extra gear that I don't think Adams has at this point.
Yeah, I think it's Amon-Ra St. Brown, and it's for all of the things that he does for this team. Even when the Lions were not great, you were going to get the best of Amon-Ra St. Brown. I don't know that you could say the same thing from Davante Adams.
This one's interesting. Ja'Marr Chase. Yeah, Jim sees the entrance. It's not so easy. Knee-jerk is Chase.
Well, ability or availability is one of the greatest abilities. And yes. I'll take Amon Ross St. Brown, especially now that we've seen the receiver series and all of the different things that seem a little bit worse now looking back, knowing more about the injuries that Amon Ross St. Brown was willing to play through. I'm going to go with Amon Ross St. Brown.
He's got muscle off the bone. He's like, hey, I'm going to miss one game. I'm right back out there. He's tough. Yeah, you know what? I'll take St. Brown,
Steel
too.
Plates in the shoes.
Yeah. And I think Chase is great. He certainly benefits playing with his college quarterback, who is better than Jared Goff. I don't want to incite that discussion. I think St. Brown's better.
He's definitely more dynamic, Chase. But I think interesting here, that's the draft that Brad Holmes took Amon Ross St. Brown. He got him in the fourth round, and Chase went fifth overall. How about that? Brad Holmes love.
You might know what he's doing.
All right, this one, maybe too soon for this guy, but Puka Nacua?
Too soon. I want to see it done more than just one season. How much was he benefiting from Cooper Kupp? How much was he benefiting from just the offense? Now, we could say Amon Ross St. Brown obviously benefits from the offense and Ben Johnson calling the plays. But I think even though Laporta, even though Gibbs, they're all going to get more touches. J-Mo is going to get more touches. I don't think we see a drop-off in the production of Amon Ross St. Brown. He's still going to get his because he is that good, and he just finds ways to get open.
And I do wonder, as Cooper Kupp reemerges, don't forget about him, he's still in that offense, do we see Puka Nacua's numbers come down just a little bit in a more balanced attack?
It doesn't lessen the player he is, but obviously it lessens the numbers.
But his part of his selling point is the numbers of his rookie season, and those I don't think are going to hold true moving forward.
To my point, I think his numbers go down, even though it doesn't change how good he is. Amon Ross St. Brown, I don't think his numbers are affected. In fact, I think his numbers continue to go up.
All right, you brought up the name, Cooper Kupp. He was the last add on this list. We left off DJ Moore and Mike Evans. We put on Cooper Kupp. Is the injury being held against him too much in bounce back time? Remember, he was still a borderline MVP.
I'm going to still say Amon Ross St. Brown. The thing about Cooper Kupp, he has that ability, and it's a deep ability as well, to find ways to get open. Some of that's the offense. Some of it's his elite route running. But that's where I think Amon Ross St. Brown continues to find ways to get open. It's his elite route running. And I think that's – everybody talks about the 202 catches a day, his Amon Ross St. Brown's elite hands. When you watch him run routes, you watch him get off the line of scrimmage, you watch him and his awareness and his knowledge of what a defense is trying to do, that's where I think Amon Ross St. Brown separates himself from a lot of these other receivers.
Did you get your answer on that?
Yeah, I didn't give the answer, but yeah, I'll take St. Brown.
Okay, you don't think Kupp should have been on the list. Okay, I'm going to say this much. Cooper Kupp is a sneaky guy you can draft in a fantasy league this year that could end up winning you the league if he bounces back to what he was.
Yeah.
Value, Jim.
Value. Wait, is that the whole list?
No, we got two more.
Okay.
Stephon Diggs.
No.
Not even on the list. Yeah. I mean, he's obviously brings his assets to the team now down in Houston, but you talk about the intangibles, the culture that Amon Ross St. Brown has been a large part, if not the major part, of the shift in Detroit. That's not at all Stephon Diggs.
All right, and the last one wants to be paid like the sun god, Brandon Ayuk.
Very good player, not better than Amon Ross St. Brown.
I see him as more of a one-dimensional guy. He is their stretch-the-field guy. I don't view him as a crossing route type of guy. I don't know that he has the toughness to be able to handle some of those routes that he even wants to. They've got Deebo Samuel to do that. They've got Kittle to do that. I see him more as just that simple deep threat.
Well, that's something that we didn't bring up really at all in this. We can bring up St. Brown and the yards after the catch, the first down conversions. How about a run blocker? You know what I mean? Like, I know that's not the top of the list for these receivers, but shouldn't that be kind of a Ty goes to the guy who gets his nose dirty and wants to move people when he doesn't get the ball?
So even when he gets the ball, his awareness of his teammates around him and utilizing, whether it's Reynolds, we saw in that Tampa Bay game, it's the ability to set up his other receivers so that they can make a block. We've seen J-Mo do a great job. That was one of the things. Hey, we didn't draft him to be a blocker, but he is a willing blocker down the field for guys like Amon Ross St. Brown.
I got to do one ad here. Okay, Deebo. Debo, because if you include his versatility,
right.
And John, only because you thought Debo had the biggest impact on that team when he missed versus other guys missing time.
He's a tough guy to put in the category, right?
He is a receiver.
He is a receiver. They use him out of the backfield. They use him in reverses. They use him in a number of different ways. I would still rather have Amon-Ra St. Brown because of Amon-Ra St. Brown's elite hands.
Yeah, if we only could have one on my football team, I'd take St. Brown. I actually put together my top 10 to do this. I had Jefferson 1. I had Tyreek Hill 2. CeeDee Lamb 3. Amon-Ra St. Brown 4. All pro last season, we've highlighted. I have Chase 5. A.J. Brown 6. Davante Adams 7. Brandon Ayuk is 8. I had Mike Evans, who's dependable at the end of this top 10 list, along with Garrett Wilson, who I think could have a big year, finally with some quarterback play.
I think Ja'Marr Chase is the one wild card, the biggest wild card, just because he's missed a lot of time. His numbers have been affected by it. And other than Joe Burrow being hurt, him being hurt as well has really harmed the Cincinnati Bengals.
And that's the St. Brown game. Better than blank. It's 97.1.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.